And now, you're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Reveler Sports.
Good day, Buccaneers fans, and welcome to the podcast that brings the Florida sunshine right to your ears. I'm Musa, one of your co-hosts tonight and a sunshine ambassador on this radiant journey known as RBLR Bucks. Well, let's start by addressing the elephant in the room. My fellow sun seekers, we've had ourselves a lot of tough losses in the past, and this one for sure was, I would say, extremely painful against the Texans over there in Houston. It was, I guess, an interesting rodeo, if that's what you want to call it. And unfortunately, I don't have any magic elixir to ease the pain, but I sure hope you find some peace in knowing that we're in this together. Well, that being said, as we bask in the warmth of the Buccaneers fandom, I want to introduce you to my co-host tonight, who'll be bringing in some extra sunshine that we definitely need to this podcast party. All right, first up, the man who can radiate some positivity and knows how to brighten even the cloudiest days. He is our sunshine specialist. We got Zach Blaine in the house. How you feeling, Zach?
What a job, buddy, man. I missed y'all last week. I'm happy to be back.
Likewise, man. It's good to have you back, and I am looking forward to hearing your true feelings about this loss.
No, you'll get them tonight, man. You will get them.
Hopefully, he's got a little bit of sunshine, but that being said, to my left, maybe he can turn that frown upside down. He can also spread some rays of optimism and perhaps brighten your day, even after a tough game. He is Carter Brantley. Carter, the mic is yours, my friend.
I appreciate it, my friend. Hope y'all are doing well. Hope our listeners are doing well. And even though the Bucs have been bad, I want to spread some positivity. The weather in Tampa has been gorgeous. I don't know if y'all have been walking around outside lately. My goodness. So it may be some crappy football that we're watching from the Bucs, but at least you can go outside and you know, be outside without getting drenched in a bucket of sweat. So there's that. But obviously, you know, the Bucs lost this weekend to the Houston Texans. It was a brutal game, you know, 39-37. Obviously, very high scoring. Not a lot of defense being played this past weekend. And C.J. Stroud broke a rookie yardage record. He broke Andrew Luck's record for most yardage thrown in a game by a rookie quarterback. But the offense looked really good, so that was kind of fun. But at the same time, it was still a loss, and it was a heartbreaking loss because it came right at the last second. And we'll get into all of it. But we'll start with just kind of a broad thing. The offense showed up. You know, this is only the first this is the first time all season that they've scored over 30 points. And it's the first time it's happened in a while. The last time they did it was a couple of years ago, during the Brady era, in 2021. So it's been a minute, and it's only like the third time they've scored 20 points all season. So the offense showed up. The defense was bad, atrocious, their worst performance all year, worst performance in a while. Do you think this is an outlier game for both? Do you maybe see this as a trend for the defense or the offense? How are we feeling about it? Overall thoughts, Musab, we'll start with you, brother. You think it's a trend or just an outlier game?
To be honest, I think it could be a trend. That's what I'll say, just because, I mean, overall, it's not like we've seen anything super special. I mean, there's only a few kind of stars that we have on our defense right now who are still showing up. Antoine Winfield, Lavonte David, Vita Vea. I want to also give a shout out to Kancey as well for stepping up. He's looking real good as a rookie. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. It's looking really mysterious. We're still having a lot of issues with our kind of DB unit in regards to, I mean, that's just the way they're playing and also just the way the coaches have kind of cooked up their strategy. But on top of that, what I think I'm not seeing at all and what I think could be a possible trend is the lack of kind of pass rushing we've been dealing with. I don't think I saw anything of it, you know, against the Texans. It just looks so different. Honestly, I feel like that kind of 2019 to 2022 when we had all these stars, JPP, I think Shaq Barrett, the old Shaq Barrett is not, you know, the Shaq Barrett that we have right now. Okay. And then JTS is doing nothing. So, I'll leave it at that. So I think it could be a trend. But I don't think it's just an outlier. I wouldn't be surprised.
Fair enough. Fair enough. How about offensively? Do you think that it's maybe this is that when they turn it around, they looked kind of decent running the ball. Baker Mayfield looked really, really, you know, pretty good. He was wheeling and dealing. Or do you think that's also an outlier game?
Real quick. I'm sorry. Musab, I'll let you answer the question. How can you say really, really pretty good?
Hey, I don't want to – look, they still lost the game. Like, I don't want to give them all the credit.
Not because of Baker. Baker put us in position to win that game. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No. You're good. Go ahead, Musab. Do you think it's bucking the trend offensively, or do you think this is just an outlier game?
I mean, I think if we're going to play like these low mid-tier teams like the Texans, I think we can definitely make it happen for sure. But, you know, when we're going against teams like the 49ers, for example, I don't think it's going to happen at all. I think we're going to be absolutely embarrassed. I think we just had a good game, something that I was expecting for sure. But I don't know. Nothing really stood out. I feel like what we expected, I guess, is not what I expected, that we're going to be scoring that many points. But finally, with our kind of key pieces that we have, and I guess with a solid or decent looking run game, you know, by Rashad White, I'm satisfied.
Fair enough. That's a fair way of putting it. Zach, how about you, man? I know you've already interjected with your Baker Mayfield propaganda. So do you think that this is a trend for the defense? And do you think that this is where the offense turns it around? How are we feeling about this game?
I've been saying that the offense was going to click at some point. I did not expect Rashad White to have a great game. And I told you in our chat, like, I'm man enough to admit when I'm wrong. And he had one good game, and I will give him all the credit to that game. Like, he looked very good running the ball. Probably the best I've ever seen out of him, not even just this season, but ever. So do I think that if he can continue to play like he did Sunday, then I see this offense working much better, because in my opinion, the reason why it worked so well this week is because the Texans had to worry about the run game. They haven't had to, no other team that we've played so far has had to worry about the run game. Everyone's just like, look, let him run the ball. It's going to get him 2 yards. Like, we're not stressing that. But when he's out here busting off 10, 15 yard runs, now the defense is like, oh, well, now we got to play a little bit of coverage. Now we got to, you know, we got to blitz a little bit so we can stop the run. That's opening up pass routes. So it's like, it feels like in order for our offense to continue to grow, he has to continue to grow. And if he does, I will be glad to swallow my words and admit that I was wrong. So offensively, I think it could be a trend, but TBD, I guess, is what I would say, because a lot of it hinges on our run game, and not just White, but our interior offensive line as well.
For sure. And we have a lot of stuff to get to in regards to that, because there's been some changes made this week. There's a lot to talk about in regards to the run game, especially. But I did want to point out, I think to explain my Baker Mayfield little really, really pretty good, it's just, you know, the offense didn't gain a lot of yardage. And they were playing, you know, they were playing against a team that was firing on cylinders. So it's just a very stark contrast. You know, C.J. Stroud throws for close to 500 yards. Anyone's going to look pretty good no matter how well they play compared to him.
Agreed. But I feel like a big part of that is how awful our defense looked.
For sure. No, absolutely.
So I mean, Baker had, what, 265, two touchdowns. I don't think he threw an interception. Like,
yeah, no, it was turnover free
numbers, and he gave us the lead with what, a minute and 20 seconds left.
Yeah, for sure, nothing more he could have done.
Nothing exactly. More. So that's kind of like my only reason why, like, I would defend him, is because he played his ass off. Like, he played really good. C.J. Stroud looked like the next coming of Tom Brady. Like, he looked like the greatest quarterback to ever play the game of football, and I think a big part of that is Jamel Dean went out in, what, the first quarter of this game?
Yeah, he went out early.
It was early. And I think that goes to show you, we talked about it a lot in the offseason, how awful our secondary is outside of, in my opinion, outside of just Antoine Winfield Jr. Like, everyone else is, on our defense is, I don't want to say bad, but, like, I wouldn't keep any of them around if I didn't have to, kind of a deal. Well, sure. Jamel I would keep him around. I really like Jamel Dean. But, like, Carlton Davis.
Inconsistent.
Played the worst game of a cornerback I've ever seen, I think, possibly in my entire life.
Yeah, and to follow up on this, Rondé Barber, you know, he's a Bucs legend. He had a quote that said that the Bucs secondary is the worst in football, despite Antoine Winfield Jr. being so good. So, harsh words from a legend. But on the contrary, you know, on the flip side of that, like Ja'Marr Chase, an elite wide receiver in the NFL, top five, really, really good. He said that the best cornerback he's ever played against was Carlton Davis. And this was before the game on Sunday, but I just thought that it was just so comically just the timing was just hilarious. I mean, it was so funny to watch Ja'Marr Chase say, oh, yeah, Carlton Davis is amazing, and then him get roasted by Nico Collins and Dalton Schultz and
just Noah Brown.
Disturbing performance, to say the least. So who do y'all believe? Is it Rondé Barber, the worst secondary in football? Ja'Marr, or is it somewhere in the middle? Like, how are we feeling about these two quotes? Zach, we'll start with you. I mean, is it somewhere in the middle, or are you
kind of worried? I agree. I lean more towards Rondé Barber. I don't know if we're the worst secondary in the league. We're bottom five, in my opinion. I don't know that we're the worst, but we're real low. Outside of Jamel Dean at corner, the second best player on our defense at the corner position is Christian Eizian, in my opinion. And that's like, he's an undrafted guy. He wouldn't be a number three on almost any other team.
Right.
Or number two on any other team. Sorry. So I'm saying he's second best. And I know Carlton Davis isn't going anywhere. Like, that's not happening. So he's sticking around for a little while. But he is just the most inconsistent person I've ever seen play corner in my life. And it's so weird because you can have one game where he's locked down, looks like he's, you know, Charles Woodson out there, like just being a beast. And then you see games like this where you're like, ah, you could be out of the league in 2 years. It just didn't look good. And I think that just goes back to the depth. We have no depth, so we can't consider ourselves one of the best in the league with the second one person goes down, our whole defense is screwed.
For sure. All right, Mustafa, how about you? I mean, are you maybe you're a little bit more lenient on this? It's just, you know, it's one game. I don't want to have this one game be a reflection of who Carlton Davis is as a corner, but maybe you're still just as harsh as the rest of us. Maybe you're like, yeah, Carlton Davis is ass.
Yeah, I'm with Zach. I mean, I wanted to say, yeah, Carlton Davis is ass. I don't have but no, but what I will say, I mean, I said when he was talking about it right now, is just the inconsistency. I mean, I am leaning more towards with Rondé Barber. Are we the worst? I don't know about that, but yeah, I think we're definitely in the bottom for sure. Okay, yeah, Winfield is elite, but other than that, I mean, look at Ryan Neal, Zion McCollum. These guys are basically like special teamers, you know, moonlighting as starters. Okay, and Jamel Dean and Carlton Davis, you know, I think they have had really good games in the past, but they've also had bad games in the past. You know, the kind of inconsistency is kind of biting us in the butt right now. And just, you know, what Zach said with the last statement, hey, listen, when one of our kind of starters goes down, then we really suffer. Yes, we do. And I think this is something we've been dealing with in the past for sure. You know, when we're throwing in dudes like Dee Delaney and we're wondering, wait, who is Dee Delaney? So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if a situation like that happens again. We get some Joe Schmo, whatever, you know, from the, you know, Houston Texans practice squad, you know, and we just have to play him just because our secondary is just looking absolutely atrocious, as it already is right now. So I'm leaning more with Rondé Barber. I think that Ja'Marr Chase just either played against Carlton Davis when he had a really good game, or maybe Ja'Marr Chase was having a bad game.
Well, I also kind of look at it like when I watched that interview, he kind of explained why he was – I don't think he necessarily said the best he's ever played against, but like one of the hardest to play against. Because he was so long and like he just played different. So it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if that necessarily translates to being the best, but it translates to being like the hardest to figure out. if that makes any sense at all. In my head, it makes perfect sense.
For sure. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. He's definitely a unique brand at the cornerback position.
Yeah.
That's one way of putting it. And that unique brand can sometimes get him into trouble, I think.
I'm kind of thinking like he's like the Patrick Beverly of the Buccaneers.
Oh, hey, God. Don't put that on Carlton Davis. Come
don't
on.
Don't put that on Patrick Beverly, all right?
No, man. All right. We're splitting between.
If Carlton Davis played defense like Pat Bev, we'd win a ring.
Oh, man. I don't know. Pat Bev's overrated.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I love him.
Anyways, but in that same breath, obviously the we've been talking about Carlton Davis had a terrible game, and they even asked him about because the Bucs have been playing a lot of zone. They've played zone a lot for whatever reason, and they've given up more touchdowns in zone coverage than any team in the league. And in man, they've given up fewer touchdowns than any team in the league. So I mean, I don't want to put the blame entirely off of Carlton Davis because obviously he struggled mightily. But I don't know. This is just another example of Todd Bowles falling short for me. I mean, why do they keep playing zone? I mean, it's just kind of confusing. So I want to hear, is this enough to maybe like really question why Todd Bowles still has his job? Because he's the defensive coordinator. Like he's a defense first guy. So Mustafa, we'll start with you. I mean, is this kind of a reason enough? Just this like, take all the results aside, like this is just spitting you in the face, man, play more man. And it's like, nope. And yeah, I don't know. For me, this is reason enough to ax him already, but maybe you feel differently.
I know I'm sure many people are thinking just like us. And obviously I'm sure the Buccaneers organization or the coaching staff is aware, but I don't know why they're not changing things up.
Right.
And that's exactly what cost us the game. We were playing zone coverage and we got absolutely cooked. I think playing zone is also what allowed C.J. Stroud to look so good. I think he was really getting a lot of time, or for his receivers as well, getting a lot of time to kind of really get open. They took advantage of it. That's how they won. And it's almost like, you know, one reason as to why we keep losing is because of bad coaching. You know, we find any way we can to lose this game, and that's what we did in the last, what, 30-ish seconds, 30, 40 seconds we had. So – I don't know. It's embarrassing, and I'm right there with you, Carter. That's it. But, Zach, you feel different, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, it's kind of a I feel a little bit of both. Like, I feel like he – I wanted him fired before the season started, not even just now. But I also feel like, do you guys think we have the talent to run, man?
I mean, it seems like they don't have the talent to run zone. So, like,
I agree with that. But I feel like we have a better chance of something lucky happening in zone than us having anyone run one on one against Carlton Davis.
Right, for sure. I guess in my mind, it's like if you're playing the Texans, who have their number one receivers, Nico Collins, who's having a great year. I'm not trying to diss Collins, but. You know, then you can play man. I think they're quality enough cornerbacks to at least keep up with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Although Tank Dell is having an
outstanding. I would say I don't think any one of our corners
would have him. Right.
Yeah. So that's my only like. As much as I don't am not a Todd Bowles fan, like that's my only kind of devil's advocate situation here is that. I don't know if this team has the capability to run man. Our linebackers are not coverage linebackers. If you're running man, your linebackers have to play coverage. And I love Lavonte David. I'm on Devin White, but like neither one of them are coverage linebackers. So do we really want one of our speed rush linebackers to or run stuffing linebackers to play man coverage on a tight end who's probably going to cook us? To me, that's it feels like our team is not set up to run man when I think that man is the better defense to run in the league.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a tough proposition. I'm certainly not necessarily because I don't know enough. I'm not an X's and O's guy. You know, I don't think any of us know enough to really say like, oh, well, the Bucs definitely. I don't know. They also have a rough pass rush. So we're putting a lot of onus on the secondary to cover guys for a long period of time just because the edge rushers aren't getting there. You know, the interior defensive linemen aren't getting enough push. So it's a hard thing. But one thing that I know is definitely a lock. Like, I don't even have to question whether to run man or zone or what t-shirt to wear, because RBLR has a shop that you can check out. You know, we don't have any man versus zone attire on there, but it might be cooking, in the works. You know, we might have something, but what we do have is Bring Back the Devil, Tampa Bay, Champa Bay, anything Tampa Bay related that you're looking for, Rays, Bucks, Lightning, or Rowdies, check out shop.rblrsports.com. And I'll give you a promo code Cannon, C-A-N-N-O-N-S, since the Bucks are on a losing streak right now and you might need someone to pick me up. You know, that'd be kind of nice. Get yourself something nice and, you know, check it out for sure. So after that shameless shot plug, we'll move on to something a little more lighthearted because, good Lord, it's been a negative first half of this episode. So what songs are y'all listening to this week? What's your jam of the week? Musab, we'll start with you. What are you bumping in your car on your way to the grocery store or wherever?
Oh, man. I'll be kind of listening to a lot of podcasts these days. But, you know, when I'm listening to music, I don't know. I heard this Dua Lipa remix of the Don't Start Now. It's like the Regard remix.
Word.
Yeah, I don't know. It kind of just feels like I'm at some kind of young hippie club in New York City or something. You know, I got a nice mojito in my hand and, you know, dancing with the shawty or something. Life's good. You know, the Bucks win, you know.
Reminiscing about better days. Fair enough. All right, Zach, how about you? What are you listening to?
Oh, God, my kids scream and cry. No.
Ouch. No. I thought they won the Super Bowl this week.
We did win the Super Bowl, but that was just my stepson. The rest of them, they do their own thing. That was fun, though, man. That was the most fun I've had in a long time, getting to coach and be a part of that. But right now, the music I'm listening to the most, or the song I'm listening to the most, Post Malone just did a cover with Morgan Wallen and Hardy, and it was Pick Up Man. And, dude, I promise you, Post Malone is one of the most talented people I've ever seen in my entire life. I know a lot of people – I know he's a sellout to a lot of people, but I love him. My tennis in a little bit, you know.
Word, I'm not going to lie. I could peg you for a Post Malone guy.
100%. Like a Post Malone guy. 100%.
Oh, man, that's tough. Yeah, that's tough. I'm probably going
to. You won't catch me listening to Bad Bunny, though. So,
fair enough, I suppose. Well, I'm not going with a Bad Bunny song this week. I'm going to go with Curtains from Smino. I love Smino. He's an artist out of St. Louis, kind of an R&B kind of guy. And it's kind of how I'm feeling about this Buck season at this point. You know, it might be curtains pretty soon if they don't start turning it around. So that's what I'm bumping this week. But moving on, they're obviously taking on the Tennessee Titans this Sunday. But before we get into that, they are making a change. Aaron Steine has become he's won the starting left guard position moving forward. Matt Leiter, the veteran they brought in, it just wasn't working out. The coaching staff just decided to make a change. And Aaron Steine, the Super Bowl winning Aaron Steine, he was the starter on that Super Bowl team towards the end there. So are you hoping this will change the running game at all? Or are you kind of just like, I mean, I guess we're trying something, you know, like at least the coaching staff's like, all right, might as well just switch something up since it's struggling so mightily. Musab, we'll start with you. Do you think this will make an impact?
Look, run game still has a long way to go, but it has looked better with Aaron Steine in there in the last two games, for sure. It always made me wonder why there wasn't more of a battle before the season between Filer and Steine. I don't know why. I guess they were just focused on other things or whatever. But I didn't even know anything about Matt Filer. I always was rooting more for Aaron Steine just because he already – had played with us before, already had that experience. So I'm just happy to have him back. I think it's going to work out for sure. Is he a game changer? I don't think so, but it's definitely a step forward is what you would say.
Right. I mean, how much of a game changer can a left guard be if we're being completely honest? Unless he's Quentin Nelson.
But that was my exact argument.
Yeah. Other than him, if you're not playing with Quentin Nelson, a left guard might not do much if we're being
fair.
But I do agree with you, Musab. I do think it's a step in the right direction. Just trying to establish something different because it's obviously not been working. Zach, how about you? Do you have more faith in this being an impact change, or are you kind of like, ho hum, big BFD sort of thing?
Yeah, it feels like it's one of those anything's better than nothing at this point.
Right, absolutely.
So the fact that Todd Bowles was able to see that something wasn't working and try to correct it is more than I thought he was capable of. So to see him come in and make a change, whether it was him or Dave Canales, whoever it was, you know, I respect that we're at least trying to make this team better as opposed to pulling a Cardinals and just giving up on the season already. So it feels like I'm expecting a lot out of this, even though I'm also kind of not. it's a weird feeling because, like, I want something big to happen here, but, like, my heart won't let me, or my brain won't let me, even though my heart wants it, because I know that Tampa is just going to probably disappoint me again. So,
right, yeah.
I want it to be a big thing, but I don't think it is.
That's fair. It's a Bucs life, you know. That's just that's the nature of it. 100%. So that's how it be sometimes. But obviously, we talked about it. The Bucs are taking on the Titans this week with Aaron Steine as their new left guard, for better or for worse. And Will Levis is the Titans QB. He was kind of someone that his name floated around the Bucs maybe drafting him in the first round last year. Obviously, did not happen. He fell to the second round to the Titans, who traded up to get him. And he had a really amazing first game, racked up quite a few touchdowns. The second game he played against the Steelers, looked a little bit to be desired. Yeah, very meh, very meh, very average at best. He threw an interception towards the end of the game, no touchdowns, but he was also playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers have an amazing defense. Obviously, Mike Tomlin, one of the best coaches in the NFL. So, I don't know if I want to put that completely on him, but regardless, how do the Bucs prevent Levis from breaking the record that Stroud just set for rookie QBs? In my mind, it's just all about making him uncomfortable, maybe getting pressure, sending some blitz packages at him, just trying to show him something different. Don't stay in that same base zone coverage that they were staying in at the end of the game against the Texans. Obviously, they aren't going to do that, but man, just show me.
We say, obviously, I wouldn't be shocked at anything at this point.
Right, absolutely. Musab, how about you, though? How do you feel like the Bucs can kind of disrupt things for Will Levis in this game?
I mean, we haven't been super effective when it comes to rushing the passer, but we do frequently blitz. So just finding some way to kind of just throw them off or whatever, just because I don't think their offensive line doesn't look anything special at all. Mm-hmm. I think we're definitely able to take advantage of it. Will we? I guess we'll find out, and I wouldn't be surprised if we don't. But also what I'm kind of thinking is I was actually kind of looking up some things, and I forgot where I found it, but I do want to give a shout-out to – I forgot what the article was. But the Titans also rank pretty down low when it comes to, like, third-down conversions, and we're not good at third down, defensive kind of third down conversions.
Right.
So what I'm kind of looking – yeah, I want to see a little bit of that third down battle, and I want to see some wins out of it for sure. But, I mean, as of right now, I mean, that's what I'm kind of thinking. On the defensive side, I'm just crossing my fingers, hoping for the best out of our DBs for sure. And then on our offensive side, I'm just thinking, whatever we did, you know, I think what we're capable of doing, as Zach mentioned already, I think we are clicking, and I just hope we just keep on clicking. We get some better chemistry going on. I do like Rashad White also getting some passes here and there to get some yards. And I think having a even decent run game is really going to help us for sure. But then again, we'll see. Maybe that was the outlier.
Yeah, absolutely. It might have been an outlier performance, but I love that you brought up the offense, because the offense can help, you know, keep the defense off the field, try to possess the ball a little bit, keep those guys fresh. So maybe that can help throw Will Levis off if he's playing from behind. You know, that's a pretty tough proposition for any quarterback, but especially a rookie. So, yeah, that's a good point. Zach, how about you, though? How do you feel like the Bucs can slow down Will Levis?
Yeah, we just have to play better. Like, I know that's such a stupid answer. Like, that's such a dumb answer. But literally everyone
can answer. Yeah, we got to execute better.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know that that's such a throwaway answer. Like, we just got to play better. Talking about practice, like, yes, it's a simple answer, but that's literally the key to it. Everyone played bad last week. I will give shouts to Kalijah Kancey. He didn't get to the quarterback, but he's the only one that I saw consistently in the backfield, whether it was hurrying the quarterback or at least back there. So outside of him, I didn't see anything impressive from any defensive player last week. Like, that's going to have to change this week.
Absolutely.
I was doing some research, and we gave C.J. Stroud now currently has 2,270 yards on the season. 21% of all of his yards are from Tampa. From that one game, he's got 21% of his yards on the whole season. I think that if we can just try to hold maybe Will Levis like 18 yards, 18% of his yards, we have a chance to win this game.
Right. Although his percentage might be a bit higher since he'll only
because he's only played two games and he only had one good game. Like you said, last week was kind of mid. The Steelers' defense is better than our defense, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. TBD, as you would say. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll definitely have to see how things go. Like Musab mentioned, the offensive line for the Titans is a little bit, so maybe the Bucs can kind of take advantage of that. But speaking of that, what are some kind of key matchups that y'all are looking for in this game? For me personally, just to start off, DeAndre Hopkins looked pretty darn good in that first game with Will Levis under center. So I'm looking at him and thinking, man, are the Bucs going to be able to slow him down at all? But luckily, I will say Carlton Davis he's a physical corner, and DeAndre Hopkins is a bit long in the tooth. So he was never really a trailblazer in regards to speed, but he's definitely not as fast as he once was, not as explosive as he once was. So I'm actually kind of excited to see how Carlton Davis can bounce back and maybe try to do a bit more. Maybe he speaks up and is like, hey, coach, I got to play more man, you know. Because that seemed to be kind of what he was alluding to, while at the same time, I'll give him credit. He took a lot of credit for his crappy performances.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah, I've been dogging it, but
for sure. Man,
and like, you got to respect that.
Absolutely. So that's kind of my key matchup, so to speak, is the secondary in general versus Hopkins, but more specifically Carlton Davis. Zach, how about you? What's your key matchup going into this weekend?
My key matchup is our front seven against their offensive line. We have to be able to get pressure on the quarterback, and we've got to be able to hit Derrick Henry before he gets up and running. Because Derrick Henry with a full head of steam, none of our corners are taking him down. we've got our linebackers and our D-line have got to get back there and stop him before he picks up a head of steam, and we've got to be able to take down Will Levis. We cannot let him sit comfortably in the pocket like we did C.J. Stroud.
Absolutely. I'm with you. Some good stuff. The front seven's definitely got to step it up. Musab, how about you? What's your key matchup for this weekend?
For me, I mean, I think that's definitely something to look forward to, what y'all mentioned on the kind of defensive side, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some kind of inconsistencies. It's not like I'm kind of seeing anything super special out of our defense so far. So I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, we do let Derrick Henry get hot or we do let Hopkins get hot. But what I'm actually looking at is on the offensive side, I want to see, you know, Baker – or the offensive line, allow Baker Mayfield to have plenty of time, you know, look for his guys, be less pressured, of course. And I'm also thinking that we are able to take advantage of their kind of mediocre rush defense. Our rush offense isn't that special either. But what I did see last game is definitely some potential for sure. So I'm looking more on the offensive side. So specifically O-line, protecting Baker, giving him some time. And then as well as kind of using that rushing attack as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely a great point. The offensive line can really step up, hopefully. But moving on to our next segment, we've got the over and under segment. Zach, I know you've got some stats for us. Hit us with them.
I got a couple of them. So after last game, you know, we looked like garbage getting to the quarterback. Over or under 2.5 sacks this week?
Under, without question, not even hesitation. Musab, go ahead.
I'm going under. Yeah, I think we get two at max.
At max, yeah, two.
I'm right there with you. So, like, that one was not a good one.
No,
not a good one for debate. But I felt like maybe someone would say more.
It makes a point though.
No, and then the next one, I feel like I've done a lot of Rashad White, so I want to do a Mike Evans one. Because there's a couple of passes last week that I felt like were there, but Baker didn't necessarily give time to develop the for the play to develop. So over or under 6 catches for Mike Evans, 6.5, I guess it would be.
I'm going to go under. I think he gets at most 5. Musab, how about you?
Oh, man, this one's kind of tough.
It is. This is a good one.
Yeah, this is a good one. Oh, man. If I had to, I would probably say, you know, I'm going to actually go the over.
Ooh,
for some reason, I'm thinking, listen, what I mentioned with the key matchup, I think if we're able to allow Baker Mayfield to have some time and, you know, give Mike Evans some time as well to run down the field, get open, I think he's able to get 7.
Yeah, because you want to talk about crappy secondaries. I mean, Tennessee, they got Sean Murphy Bunting, yep. Christian Fulton, and Caleb Farley. You know, just a lot of inexperience. So, yeah, Mike Evans could go off potentially if given enough time for Baker. So I definitely dig those over and unders for sure, especially the Evans one. And, of course, they could go out and sack Will Levis 5 times next week. Tell us.
I wouldn't be shocked at this point, man.
For sure. And that would be wonderful. But now we're finally towards the end of our episode. We would love to hear some predictions from y'all. Musab, who you got this weekend? What's your score?
I got 27-24 Titans. I just don't think that we have it in the tank to run away with the win. I think it will be an ugly battle between the two. I think we'll have some kind of good drives from both. I think there's going to be good drives from both of them. But I think there's going to be some bad drives. I think it's going to be boring at times, exciting at times. But there's just something in my head telling me that, you know, we have bad experience when it comes to rookie quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks, you know what I'm saying? And I think the curse is still going to be alive for us this upcoming weekend. So, unfortunately, I'm going 27-24 Titans.
Some dark stuff, but hey, it's the truth. It's the truth. Reality sucks sometimes.
Still Halloween here in Tampa.
Right. It's still trick-or-treat season for opposing rookie quarterbacks. I'm going to go 2010 Tennessee. Zach, how about you?
Ooh, okay. See, I'm going to be different. I feel like we're on a bit of a down streak and something's got to give, okay? I'm saying 30-20, Tampa wins. We break 30 2 weeks in a row. Look, this defense is not as good as the Houston defense, in my opinion. So I'm taking 30-20 Tampa. We finally get back in the win column. Atlanta loses, and we're still in contention for the first place in the wonderful NFC South.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's funny you say that the Titans defense is not as good, and yet you have the Bucs scoring fewer points against them.
Well, listen, I think, you're right, though. We had to score. I feel like we're not going to, sure. It's not going to be as close as the Houston game.
For sure.
So I feel like they're, at the end of the game, we're not going to be pushing the ball like we were this last game.
Absolutely. No, I feel you. That's a good point. All right. Well, we're coming towards the end of our episode. We really appreciate y'all tuning in. Hopefully next week we'll come back with better news about the Bucs. It's been a rough past month, it feels like, and hopefully they'll change the tide here. But until they do, it's just a Bucs life, and that is, you got to deal with the card you're dealt with, fumbles, all those cliches. But as always,
go Bucs!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.